Monica Abbott here, back in Kansas City to host my first annual scholarship golf tournament presented by Shields, Monday, May 6th at Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee's Summit. All proceeds go toward awarding two scholarships to well-deserving female athletes in the Kansas City area. Sign up at monicaabbott.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
The biggest thing is just dealing with adversity. When you're playing in these type of football games, not everything's going to be great. You're not going to get everything the exact way you want it, but you have to find a way to win, find a way to fight. And I felt like this last game definitely prepared us with being down 24-0 of just finding a way to come out on top in the end.
Well, I feel like nobody in the NFL can guard any of us. I mean, that's no disrespect to nobody. That's just the confidence that I got. No secondary unit, no linebacker, or any defense can guard any of us. So, man-to-man is just easy for us to beat. And if you just allow us to just run through zone, it's even easier.
I think the mentality is, you know, somebody's going to have to stop him. Somebody's going to have to make a tackle on him if we want to get to Miami. So, it's one goal, one objective to win the game. But in order to do that, we know we gotta slow down 22, no doubt.
And now, scouring last night's Missouri game for fresh ideas for offense for his team, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro, the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the program. No.
Missouri basketball. Yeah, we don't know either.
68-36?
72-45. Yeah, at one point, 68-36. At one point, Missouri was in a position where if they went on a 16-0 run, they would have still trailed by 16.
Yeah, that was
68-36. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
That's Kimmy Anderson-esque.
It was. And I get, you know, it takes a while to rebuild a team, but I would have thought we would have been beyond these types of games with this frequency. But oh well.
Yeah.
It's washed away with what's happening this week at One Arrowhead Drive.
That's a bad ball.
Down 15-3 back-to-back games. You lose by 8 at home to a 300 Ken Pom team. And then this. I mean, how many of these are you allowed to have in year 3? Regardless of what you took over, regardless of what bad luck fortune you have. To just not show up,
right?
Essentially, competitively, I won't ever say a team gave up or didn't show. They were not competitive in any way last night. From the absolute tip to the gun, nothing.
Yeah, it was bad basketball. Well, we're not going to let them lead our program.
Nope.
No, because they don't deserve it.
Good times.
Although it was so bad. K-State had a rough day. Listen, they're in a rebuild mode, and Bruce Weber has built this thing up really kind of twice. Maybe built it up, rebuilt it once. Mm-hmm. Took it over, managed it.
They at least fought last night.
When he took over from Frank Martin and then had to rebuild it and did it and got it up and was successful and made an Elite Eight run. So there's a precedence of getting things rebuilt. So there should not be any panic. Listen, I don't know. Maybe Bruce Weber can't rebuild it, and maybe 2 years from now we're talking about Bruce Weber being let go, but he's got enough history mm-hmm. and clout to where you don't panic here the first time that they're having a tough go. When we knew that they would have a tough go, we talked about that with Gary Parrish. Missouri's supposed to be kind of getting some traction going. And listen, they did. They still beat Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're clearly a team that's going to be all over the map.
Yep.
Florida's a talented team. They ended up playing particularly well, although they'd won a couple of games in a row and looked like maybe they were finding themselves. They were supposed to be a top 10 team, and Missouri mops the floor with them. But can lose to College of Charleston. I mean, it just is weird. Kansas got a nice win last night.
They did.
Winning without the point guard, Devon Dotson. That is a nice, nice victory for the Kansas Jayhawks. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know Oklahoma's probably not going to the Final Four and maybe not even going to the tournament, but you lose Dotson, you got to remake your team, and they were able to do it on the fly and get a win convincingly. think that was a really nice win.
Yep.
For the Kansas Jayhawks. The other two, call me next year. I mean, really, as a fan.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a, well,
you know, that's the
this
problem.
This ain't us this year. Let's try it again. And
like, know. At this point, it's getting to where, like, what has to happen for you to reinvest?
Yeah. Missouri fans keep hitting me in the mentions. They got to get a new guy. They got to find some way. I'm like, well, the only way they can do it is to let time pass. Do whatever it takes.
And maybe that'll prove to be the best thing, is that contract gives him the security he needs to rebuild it.
Yep.
They do look long and athletic. I mean, I can see a plan.
Yep.
Whether or not it ever comes together remains to be seen.
Offense seems to be a mystery at times.
Recruiting next year seems to be a mystery. A little bit, really, and on down the road. And we know some of the misses in Missouri. I said, I know there's always a couple of Missouri fans who are like, oh, you just always hate on Missouri. Like, okay,
thanks. Show me the receipts, man.
Please keep tweeting me that and emailing me that, because if you don't, then you'd be the only school who's not. Because, you know, apparently I'm an equal opportunity hater, which I'll take.
You're just a hater. You just hate sports.
Well, usually it comes with you hate Missouri but love Kansas, or you hate K-State but love Kansas, hate Kansas and love Missouri. You know, it usually comes that direction. But, listen, it is what it is right now. And I'll say this, Kansas still didn't look like any juggernaut to me last night.
No.
I mean, again, they're down Dotson, but where's the number two guy? I mean, Marcus Garrett's not going to score the ball. I mean, not from the outside, I mean.
No.
And so you take on and you have things, you know, you're a different team. But beating Oklahoma the way they did, good win, like I said. Encouraging that they can begin to remake their team, however long Dotson's going to be down. But, like, by Kansas's scale, who's looking at flights to Atlanta with me right now?
Probably no one. You don't
anybody?
Expect, I don't think you can expect Isaiah Moss to go 6 of 11 from 3 every night. He did last night.
That helps. I mean, I think you can expect him to be pretty good, but to me that would then bump them up to kind of the Roy teams that had one shooter. If Hass is off, we're not shooting.
Right.
Right? If who was it in the
Kirk Heinrich, probably?
Yeah, their best, their 02, 03 editions, they actually had multiple guys because they had Boshi and Heinrich. That could knock it down. And I know Lee made a three here. I'm talking about a guy who can flat out stroke it, a guy who can flat out shoot.
Yeah.
And, there haven't been a plethora. You know, the best shooting team that Kansas has had under Bill Self, 2008, they won it all. They had their athletes, they had their talent, and then they could also shoot. They also had multiple point guards that could handle the ball. I mean, it was a very, very good, complete team with NBA talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had everything you'd want to put together a championship club. Moss helps a lot. Moss helps a lot. And if he can get to be that guy. And I think you play Braun a lot because he's supposed to be one of those. Brown a lot because he's supposed to be one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the game looks a little fast. Although I was shocked to see that he's shooting 40%. You know what Dotson's shooting from three? 31. Yeah, I was shocked to see how low it was. I'm like, let me check these numbers. I haven't looked at this for a week or two. So, I mean,
42 last night as a team. Was almost all Moss.
K-State saying, check with me next year. Missouri saying, oh, what are we going to do here at coach? And then you're not going to do anything. As you said, Curtis, contract says he's going to be there next year too. So, you know, from that standpoint, all you can do is look for signs of improvement. But, you know, those are two barns that really need good play to fill them up.
And sometimes when they have good play, they don't fill the one up out west.
They need big opponents. So, suck night for basketball. It was fine for Kansas. I think it was a good night for Kansas.
Sure.
Because that was a good win without Dotson. Double, first go round and Garrett Hamlin.
Won by
point.
14 on the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Didn't matter who you played or what the situation.
Odds makers are taking you from 6.5 down to 4.5, and you come out and have a convincing double-digit win. That's a real nice win for Kansas.
Yep.
I don't want to take anything away from it, but they got to continue to find guys that can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a modern game of basketball. Shooting is passing in the NFL.
Absolutely.
We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll hear from the pressers, extra pressers now. The NFL takes over and does what is supposed to happen. And so we'll hear from a lot of people here today.
They bring out dudes.
Did you know Tyreek Hill actually is in town in between the games? Like you if you listen to sports radio or watch the television town or read the newspapers, you would think he flies in Sunday morning and flies out Sunday night because There's never a quote.
Nope.
There's never a quote.
I was stunned they brought Tyrone Mathieu to the podium today and Mitchell Schwartz. So those guys are never available to talk.
The front guys for the team. Listen, by the way, Tyreek Hill did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he said some stuff. You heard the clip in the open where he said,
I'm not dumb. I know why they don't want to put him out there. And I've asked Tyreek a couple of times in the locker room, Tyreek, my guy, I tried to find the positive. I said, Tyreek, you want to talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl? No, sir. Okay. You know. So, it's, you know, I think he's, you know, we come. I was sitting there with him up there. I'm like, come a long way. Come a long way from, you know, February or March, whenever all this stuff started with him and his family. It's been a year for this kid.
Yep.
You know? And he is superhuman, muscular, and athletic and all that kind of stuff. And he is. He is just an athletic freak. But I actually was looking at him up there, and he's, you know, a little nervous because all the national press are there and everything. And just, you know, I was like, still just like a 24-year-old kid. You know? But what a year that guy's had.
Yep.
Well, you mentioned everything since February, but think about even what happened at training camp and all the backlash that came at that point.
Oh, all of it. I mean, the whole year. What an incredible. And I'm not saying positive or negative, just an incredible year. Just that's not the kind of year that an NFL player usually has.
No.
I just thought, wow. And then think about everything the Chiefs organization was going through. You know, the last 13, 14 months, start with Kareem Hunt and fast forward all the way through. The loss is what we talk about now because we're mostly talking about football, but then go into their offseason and blowing up the defensive coaching staff. And here they sit, a 7.5-point favorite in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
For the first time in franchise history, they've won back-to-back playoff games. They've had back-to-back seasons with a playoff win, I should say.
Right.
They're the first team to host back-to-back AFC Championship games since, not named the Patriots.
Yeah.
Since who?
I think the Steelers in, I put this list together last.
Weren't you the one that had that Sunday stat? Didn't I hear you put that stat out there?
I put that on Twitter on Sunday.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, it's just been, I was just sitting there taking a moment. Like, been a bit of a year.
Since Pittsburgh in 94-95, that was the last team to host back-to-back AFC Championship games other than the Patriots. 24 years since it's happened.
That officially makes it a new era in the AFC, doesn't it?
Yep.
I mean, people have counted the Patriots out as dead before. But it to me, it feels like times are changing.
Sure does.
Frank Bull's going to be with us in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk Chiefs football, some college basketball if he makes us in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll do the feud with Todd Lebo, get some Lebo sounds. Coming from Arrowhead with Todd Lebo. Patrick Mahomes in its entirety coming up at 5 o'clock. Seth Kizer from The Athletic.
Nerd.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
I say that with the utmost of honor because it's me.
It's nerddom. You're into the nerddom?
Absolutely.
So a lot coming your way today. And, of course, your chance to win great barbecue from Joe's Kansas City, great Cajun food from Jazz, and, of course, wonderful Good Sense subs from Good Sense. So keep listening here to the program. We got a big day, by the way, tomorrow.
Yes.
Did I get a word? I've been out at Arrowhead. I can promote that, right? I don't think so. Going to be at Rally House in OP tomorrow.
Nice.
Whole bunch of us looking forward to it. All the gear coming in, all your Chiefs gear packed in their 400 million square foot incredible showroom. And you know, you can grab yourself some, their, you know, Shocker gear or
in their
Northwest Missouri State
hangar,
or KUK State, Missouri as well. But yes, there will be quite a selection. So gear up with us. We'll be at Rally House tomorrow. We're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff. So make sure if you get a chance, come see us. We'll be in Overland Park, roughly 95th and Quivira. I think it's technically 97th and Quivira. Looking forward to being there. 9750 Quivira Road, says on my sheet.
ROAD.
When Jed reached for it, I knew it was like, hey, dummy, I put it on the future category. So I knew it would be there. So GPS, 9750 Quivira Road. I will see you tomorrow at Rally House. We'll be live in the program at 2:00. I think there's a lot more going on before we even get there. I just hope there's some stuff left when we get there.
Oh, man, they don't run out of stuff. They got so much stuff.
I know. I've got a list that I'm supposed to go.
Oh, yeah? Grab. We just bought all your stuff. Oh, yeah?
Well, where do you see this?
Here's twice as much as you just bought.
We are going to hear from Patrick Mahomes coming up here in a little bit. Let's hear Mike Vrabel talk about Patrick Mahomes. He was having a teleconference today. I asked him if Vrabel thinks Mahomes looks more mobile and more challenging, a more challenging job to stop him since the last time they played him when he was coming back for just his first game since the knee injury.
He moved around a little bit on us, and he drifted. And I mean, he can get out of the pocket, you know, and he scrambled for 21 yards, scrambled for 14 yards. You know, it's hard enough to defend him when he throws it to one of those receivers or one of those tight ends or backs. But it's just another added element when he's able to take those free yards because everybody's back in coverage and the rush wasn't disciplined. It's deflating, you know, because you look at him as a passer, an accurate passer, a creative passer, and then all of a sudden now he's running for 20 yards and you know, now you're running out of answers.
He didn't say he's running better, but I think he's running better.
Yeah,
right. And so
like
I think his whole answer there led you to believe that, yeah, Mike Vrabel thinks he's running better and understands how hard it is. Yeah. You go out there, you got this great weaponry for him to throw to, and he does that really well, and you cover those guys, pressure him, and then he kills you by running for a first down.
Yeah, the last part about that, you're running out of answers. Yes.
I think we put the stat out there Monday. Maybe I forgot to get to it. It was one of the things we were talking about. He has led this team in rushing on three different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
They're 3-0. Right? So when everybody tells you, you got to run. Not when you have 15.
Nope.
Right? When you have Ryan Tannehill, you probably got to run. You know?
Yeah,
or you're going to need to be plus two.
Titans in rushing this Sunday. The Chiefs are going to have a very nice day.
Yes. Yes. But
this game will be over in the third quarter.
The Chiefs have been led in rushing yards by Patrick Mahomes on three occasions, and all three times they won. And by the way, it wasn't some Lamar Jackson 175. It was 50-something, 50-something, mm-hmm. and 50-something.
Yeah, and only in the first two games, the Titan game or the Texans game was the first of those three that was at home. The other two were on the road. So it wasn't like they, you know, you play better at home. He went on the road, led his team in rushing, and they won both games.
I just think, you know, I was just talking in Denver before we got going here, and I was going through all the things I think are positives, and they were, you know, whatever they were asking me, I thought I was answering, and I always say, listen, born, you know, not quite born, but raised here my whole life in Kansas City. I said, so red and gold glasses, you know, season ticket holder, blah, 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 like you hear from everybody in every town, right? But he said, well, you mean, so you think there's no chance the Titans win? I said, oh, no. I said, they were 10-point favorites against the Houston Texans, and they were 82% to win. And for a quarter, you saw almost all of what the 18% is that it was going to take. They just couldn't sustain it. And you know, I laid the line on him. I said, listen, no offense meant to Marty Schottenheimer. And it's not that Marty didn't know how to do it. It's Marty would run the ball and never had the Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, I said, the difference is now there's 15. That, you know, everybody wants to ask me a lot of different towns. Like, well, you know, where were you at 24-0? Like, super pissed. I mean, that's being a Chiefs fan, man. That's our whole life. 24-0's our whole life in the playoffs. You know, if you're not 57 or older, like, what, you'd have to be about 7 years old to remember the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, 57 or older, then this is it. It ends in suck somehow. And so, yeah, we all were hanging our head, talking about how bad it was. But I said none of us, I don't think any of us in this town really thought that they couldn't win. We thought, here we go again. Oh, absolutely. But as long as 15's out there, and there's time on the clock, we know this team's got a shot. And so, you know, I think now, you know, the Titans can come in. Like, here it is. They beat the Texans on Sunday, 51-31 with him, 7 carries, 53 yards. Chargers in Mexico. They won 24-17 against the Chargers. He led the team in rushing, 5 carries, 59 yards. 2018, Week 13 against the Raiders. They win 40-33. He led the team in rushing, 9 carries, 52 yards. You know, just about anything can go wrong for the Chiefs, and they can overcome it. Now, everything else can't go wrong, and that's what was happening in the first quarter. Right. Literally everything else was going wrong. Kelce and Robinson were dropping the ball. Mahomes even himself was a little bit off, threw it a little bit behind Damian Williams on a ball that hit him up in his shoulder pads. But block punt, muff punt, I mean, literally everything that could go wrong was going wrong. That's what it takes for this team to lose. And the Titans lost, the loss to the Titans, you know, in week 11. In week 11, speaks to the fact that they, actually 10, I think it was.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't had their bye, right?
Right, right. The bye was before the, or after the Charger game. So, I think it was game 10, week 11.
Okay. But they, you know, literally had just about everything go wrong. You know, they said, well, the first game, you know, Titans ran the ball. I said, well, okay, but here's the other part of the story. And I mentioned fumble return for a touchdown, missed extra point, bad snap on a field goal, and a blocked field goal. I said, that's 14 points to the negative. And they were still, of course, one of those was the last play. They were still lining up to tie the game. They were ready to overcome it all, except for one last thing. So really, five things failed them. Look, I brought it up to Andy Reid. We'll talk about the special teams a little bit more here later. I brought it up to him, and I wasn't enamored with his answer. Because even in the 7 straight touchdowns, they missed an extra point. And that's, what, the 4th or 5th this year? Now, they're one of the highest scoring teams, so he has more extra points to kick than your average Joe. But still, come on.
That would be the 4th, yeah, because he was in the regular season, he missed 3. So 4 in 17 games. Yeah. One every 4 weeks, essentially.
And listen, I know everybody's like, well, yeah, but it's just an extra point. Well, but, I mean, the kick is the same as a field goal. I mean, if you're consistently missing those, and then you've had a blocked field goal and you've had a bad snap, that's what. And how many ever field goals he's missed? What is he, what for what this year?
Regular season, 34 of 38.
So that's 10 kicks off the top of my head that have been missed. Out of, what you said, 38 attempts and however many extra points?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, we're getting down to the missing a kick is one every other game. That's a problem. Yeah. You know, not connecting on the kick, whether it's bad snap, block kick, he just misses, whatever it is, that's happening too much. It's happening too much. So, and then muffing the punt, and then getting the punt blocked, and all those different things. I really do think special teams is going to be big in this, and because they've given away a lot of points on special teams. They did it against the Titans in that last game, and you know they give it, now they got some back this time.
I think if they just play even on teams, you know, they don't have to be stellar, but just don't lose the game. That's me. I think that's kind of where you're going.
Yeah.
Just don't blow it, teams. Come on.
All right. I want to get Mike in here real quick because then we're going to hear Patrick Mahomes. Mike, you're in the program. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. What's on your mind?
You were talking about, you know, we have 15, and I was a longtime season ticket holder. I'm 53, but I gave him up, you know, 10 years ago because I got tired of spending all the money, but had him for 25 years. But now I sit and watch it on the big screen in the comfort of home, but I wear my lucky Priest Holmes jersey and my lucky Chiefs hat. And in the normal situation, when all that would have happened, I would have stormed up and ripped off my Chiefs jersey, went and threw it into the dirty laundry and changed the channel or whatever. But, and I won't lie to you and say, oh, I knew they were going to come back. But for some weird reason, I just sat there, and it's kind of a ho hum. And but I didn't.
I'll tell you why you did, because they kept putting the camera on 15.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was because subconsciously it's because we have 15, and that's the difference. All those the two Colts games that I had suffered through, the Broncos game that I suffered through, of all those playoff losses, getting your heart ripped out, and even with all this happening, I just sat there, and it never happened before, and it's because of 15.
So let me ask you this question, and there's a purpose to this. You'll be my subject for this. If the Chiefs don't win this game against the Titans, do you feel like they're never going to get through? They're never going to get to the Super Bowl? They're never going to win the Super Bowl?
It would feel like we're hexed. And no matter what, even if we had Tom Brady, we still wouldn't have won for some reason.
I'm talking about this Titan game. If they don't win,
I'm talking about, even if we would have had Brady in his heyday, and we wouldn't have gone. That would be what it would seem like, is that we're just...
So you would feel like if they don't win that we're never going to win.
Well, I mean, this is as good a chance as any, and
I agree.
There's no reason why we shouldn't. If what we did to Houston, if that is happening, there's no reason why we shouldn't be.
I was wondering, and Mike, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. And the good news is we are here and we're favorites to see this Chiefs team move forward, and I think that's what we all want, right? So as a fan base, we're here. They have a great chance to go win the game. You know, I was asked that. The reason I bring that up is because I was just asked that about 20 minutes ago or 5 or 10 minutes before I started the show by Denver. Is there a sense that if you don't win this game, and maybe it's because Denver's asking, like I'm asking you, you know I'm a fellow Chiefs fan.
Right.
If Denver asked you, maybe that got my ire up. You know, Ryan Harris, former Chief and former Bronco, was one of the guys on this show.
They want to hear you say you're done.
Yeah. And so I said, oh, no. No, I said, will it suck? Will we, you know, all the things I've told you about, all the miserable playoff losses and everything, will we lament that? Will the fans go nuts? Will I be taking calls for a long time about how Andy Reid can't get it done and all this? Yes. But will we actually believe that the Kansas City Chiefs just can't win? I will not. Now, I spoke for the whole fan base and said, we will not. Because the guy that you're about to hear, Patrick Mahomes, is here. Barring an injury to 15, this team always has a chance in every game and in every season. If there are games left or time on the clock and 15 is healthy, this team can win. And I said, no, it feels like we're beginning an era like you guys experienced with the Denver Broncos, like the Patriots have experienced with Tom Brady, the Packers have experienced with Aaron Rodgers. I said, you know, we hope it's more than one Super Bowl appearance and win like Aaron Rodgers. You know, 5 with 2 wins, we'd probably take it now. Like, I'll give you that question. Think about this while we hear Patrick Mahomes. Would you take 5 Super Bowl appearances and 2 wins right now for his career? Because that was John Elway's career. Would you take it right now?
Yes.
Okay. Stew on that one. We'll take a break. Come back here. A little bit of Patrick Mahomes' conversation you'll hear in its entirety at 5 o'clock is next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Doesn't that tire you out after a while? Thinking of absolutely the most clever way to say everything?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's the reigning NFL MVP and an ESPY winner. He has his own cereal.
Part of this complete breakfast.
He puts ketchup on ketchup. He's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
How are you doing?
Exclusively on the Program.
Presented by Community America Credit Union. With options like high interest savings, wealth management, Chiefs checking and more. Community America is powering the rise of Kansas City. Visit communityamerica.com to learn more. And by Xfinity. Get live stats and scores right on your TV with Xfinity X1. Only from Xfinity.
You'll hear all of our conversation with Patrick Mahomes coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Chance to give you a little chunk of what we talked about. Always good to talk to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs in the Reese Nichols Studios. Started out by asking him if at any point during that game against the Texans, down 24-0, was there any sense of panic?
No, I don't know if there was ever panic. I mean, obviously, I knew we weren't in the best situation being down 24-0 in the first quarter. But I think the biggest thing that I kind of try to preach to the guys and to myself and everybody was just take it one play at a time. I mean, obviously the goal was to cut into the lead before half, and knowing that we were going to get the ball back after halftime. And with everything happening, we ended up getting the lead. So I think it just – speaks to the guys around me that that they saw the confidence to go out there and execute every single play that was called, and we were able to cut into that lead really quickly.
Is that the biggest margin you've ever overcome at any point? 24-0, come back and win.
Yeah, I know I came back from one in high school. That was a lot too, but I think that was definitely the biggest one I can think of, where you have to come back, and especially in the NFL where points are so hard to come by. To be able to be down 24-0 and still come back and get a lead before halftime was pretty special.
Listen, I know the kind of competitor you are, at least I think I do, from having watched you and had conversations, and I'm sure that if it's mathematically possible, you think you can win. When did you in this game, when in the comeback process, did you feel like you knew you guys were going to win?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever knew that we were going to win. I mean, I knew we had a lot of momentum. I knew that we were scoring a lot of points, but at the same time, I mean, when you play the Texans and they have Deshaun Watson on the other side of the field, you know that he can score points in a hurry and that he has that same mindset that I have, that he's not going to give up to the very end. And so I think we started taking the knees down at the end of the game and we were running the clock out, that's probably when I finally knew that we had kind of came back and got the win.
What did Mecole Hardman's 58-yard kickoff return do for you?
It was special. I mean, it really got the momentum kind of starting to swing in our favor. We needed that one play to kind of get that bad things out of the way and get us back on track. And I think that kickoff return really was the first step in kind of orchestrating this comeback.
Is that what Coach said? Coach Reed, you know, mentioned something like, hey, we just need one play. We just need one spark. Was that the message that he continued to give you guys?
No, it wasn't that. I mean, I think the biggest thing that Coach Reed was preaching was just stay with the process, stay with the plan. And I think that was one of the big things that we were kind of focused on, was that one play at a time, stay with the plan, keep doing what we're doing, and we'll execute at a higher level, and then we'll kind of cut it and make it a game, and then try to find a way to win it in the end.
The fake punt, you know, what was your reaction? Did you know? Were you, you know, sitting down now trying to get ready to go, or did you see it, and what was your reaction when it happened?
Yeah, I saw it. I was kind of on the other at the end of the other sideline getting ready for to go back on the field with the punt. And then to see Dan make that play, I mean, that was a special play. I mean, one-on-one open field tackle when you only have a couple yards that you can kind of give leeway to, and he made the play. I mean, it was definitely a spark. We were able to get out there and score pretty quickly after that and then get the special teams with Dan again making the play and hitting the ball out, and we got the ball back with a short field position there three times.
All right, you come all the way back. You take the lead 28-24 before the half. You know, we talk about it a lot in basketball. You'll see a team come from way down. They get all the way back, and then there's almost like an exhale, like a letdown, like, okay, we're back in it now, everything's okay, and they kind of let off the gas maybe a little bit, or they're just too gassed themselves and everything it took to come back. What was the atmosphere like at halftime, and were you worried that maybe there would be an exhale after you guys had such a great second quarter?
I think the only time I was worried was when I was walking in the tunnel, but right when I got in that locker room at halftime and saw how guys were talking about it, how we were – everybody was preaching that it's a 0-0 ball game. We want to make sure that we keep the pressure on, don't let up at all. Then I knew that the guys, the mindset was in the right place, and that we were going to go out there and keep that pressure and keep that momentum going. And you saw we got the touchdown the first drive out there. The defense got to stop, and we were able to kind of keep the momentum in our favor.
Seven straight touchdowns. Did you guys realize you'd done that when it happened?
I did not. I didn't realize it until after the game when they told me. But I knew we had scored a lot in a row, and I wanted to keep that thing going.
Listen, I think there's no shortage of confidence. I don't buy for one second that it was on the kneel down that he thought that he felt good about the win.
That's
not for one second.
That's a political answer.
I'm going to tell you that in the second half of the conversation, a little more than second half of the conversation, I asked him about the comments of Scott Zolak towards Travis Kelce on Twitter. I thought we might hear that brought up today at the podium. We did not. I thought it was interesting. Think about how you think he would answer that question, and you probably nailed it. Right? But, I mean, yeah. I think it speaks to
–
it speaks to the Brady-ness of him.
Yeah.
I mean, what dynamic comment has Tom Brady ever made?
No.
The only comment that from anybody, and technically his wife is still bunching, right? Her name's not Brady. She said, my husband can't throw it and catch it, too.
Yeah, the most that's astounding the most, comment made by either of them was
out of
made
his
by
house
her 15 years
that's
ago.
The most dynamic comment that was made. But otherwise, he handles everything smoothly and doesn't give bulletin board material and just goes on doing the job, winning games.
Even more so than Brady, he doesn't have the chip on his shoulder that Brady's had for so long with the, well, nobody believed in us, everybody was counting us out. Patrick Mahomes, maybe it's because he hasn't accomplished as much, but he doesn't have that sense.
Maybe
that makes Brady such a whiny dude.
Maybe it's,
good self-edit.
Let's do give Patrick Mahomes the chance to win several Super Bowls and then be the consensus favorite all the time and see if he doesn't start playing that card. Because Dabo Sweeney plays that card. Nick Saban plays that card. It seems to be the card that every maybe that is literally the only thing you can do to motivate.
No one plays it like Dabo, though.
You know?
Even Saban isn't as good as Sweeney is playing the little engine that could thing. After three titles in 4 years.
I mean, it and if there is a chip on Brady's shoulder, and I don't get that sense, but he did sit until the sixth round. Now, once you've won three, when you got five, it's done. That's more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, even Jordan didn't max out the number of championships won by a player.
No.
And what, Charles Haley had won five.
Right.
And
two
was
with
there,
the Niners and three with the Cowboys.
And was there one other guy who won five? Was there somebody who played in five straight?
Yeah.
One of the Bills played in four and then went with the Packers or something. And
Gail Gilbert is a backup. And Mike Lotish played in six, I think, four with the Bills and two with the Broncos, but only one, I think, two of those.
Okay. So my point is, you know, there's no chip.
Yeah.
You're the best. Everybody agrees you're the best.
Even after last year, I still have things to prove.
I think he's motivating himself.
Yeah.
He knows he has nothing
to prove.
A lot
of that is.
But like Mahomes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's a chip.
Yep.
That's a chip. He's got a little bit of
money. And it's fun, but it's still, it comes from, hey, it comes from that same mindset.
Yeah.
As much fun as he had with it, the root of it was, I want 10.
913-3810-810. We'll take a break. We'll hear some more from the press conferences today. Take your phone calls. We're talking Chiefs football to get things started. Frank Bowl right around the corner. Todd Lebo and the feud still to come. Il Lazzarone, great authentic Neapolitan-style pizza from Il Lazzarone will be on the line in the 4 o'clock hour. All of the Patrick Mahomes conversation in the 5. Seth Kaiser talking Chiefs football in the 5 as well. Big program today. You can grab a line right now at 913-3810-810.
The program with Soren Petro.
He's one of the great human beings in the world, much less a young man. Or maybe he's not so young anymore. But
weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You listen to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A lot of sound coming out of the Chiefs today. It's good to hear all the guys and getting a chance to put our town's team up on the center stage. Enjoyed the conversation. That was some pretty good stuff today. Did you like it?
I did too.
You sit and grind through every second of sound that comes out of there and the other team every week for the Central Bank and the Midwest pregame show.
Tyrann Mathieu is always an engaging guy. Tyreek Hill was, as I said, better than I expected. He said two or three things. I mean, Andy Reid, maybe a little more informative than sometimes is. I don't know. He's but I could tell.
Well, you didn't like much because you pulled one cut.
Well, yeah,
which I'm not
complaining. That was the thing that you asked about, and it was the question, one of the questions that you asked him. So I didn't think. I mean. We're going to get him three times this week, and I'm sure by Friday we're going to be getting, I just didn't think it was.
Well, I'm going to lunch at Twin Peaks on Friday, so the good stuff will better come on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Because I got a lunch meeting, and where better to have a lunch meeting than at Twin Peaks?
I can't think of
You're not invited.
No.
It was on my Google Calendar. I'm going.
Well, I know. That was against my better judgment, letting you loose in there. Let's hear Andy Reid real quick before we go to the phones. 913-3810-810. I do think special teams is something that if something's going to blow up on this team and kill them, it could very well be the special teams game. Now, they did bounce back, and you can tell Andy Reid maybe takes a little exception with this question. I asked him about the special teams problems that they've had. Really, you know, I said, I tried to butter them up, right? You build them up and then not knock them down, but I tried to bank some clout with him that I'm not coming at him with an attacking question. I said, you, Coach, and Coach Tobe have been so good in special teams for like 6 years, and Dave Tobe's, you know, history speaks for itself.
Yep.
I said, but, you know, special teams have been a little rocky this year, and that continued and got you in the Texan game. What do you do to try to get your arms around the problems that occurred against the Texans?
Yeah, there are a couple things. I mean, we're working on those to make sure we get them better, and I think we'll be all right. You know, they're going to get you every once in a while. So they got us this past week, and but we came back and got them. So it was give and take. But we got to get better in some spots, and the guys are working at that.
It was give and take.
We got them back.
I mean, because the give was a point on the extra point, working backwards, a point on the extra point, a muff, point-blank field position, and a block punt for a touchdown. The take was a 58-yard kickoff return, huge.
Yep.
Got the momentum, started the momentum going their way, no doubt. And then another huge tackle on a fake punt.
And then?
And then
a forced fumble that resulted in the second.
Yeah, and then a forced fumble that resulted in the second. So, you know, maybe I'm not balancing it out quite enough.
It was one of the most schizophrenic special teams halves in the history of pro football.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think the Texans got the better of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Point-wise. Mm-hmm. But, and you can't spot those kind of points.
No.
Terry, you're in the program. Thanks for joining us, Terry. What's going on?
Yes, Ren. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm going to be nervous watching this game, and I was listening to what you said about I'm 61, so I've seen all the highs and lows with the Chiefs, Royals, and the Jayhawks.
Okay.
And even remember kicking, trying as a little kid, trying to kick the door in when they lost to Miami. But what I want to know is I'm thinking about the coin toss. You know, I think it's so important that we win that darn coin toss. I'm going to be nervous. We need to win the coin toss and receive.
Well, you know that's not going to happen. Those two things will not go together. If they win the coin toss, they're going to kick. They do it every time.
Well, why would we win when they're going to try to control the ball and run it?
Because
we score first, they're going to be chasing us the whole time.
Because of the math, because you get a chance to get back-to-back possessions if you defer.
Oh, math doesn't work with Henry. We get ahead and we get 10-0. We got it. Well, that's just my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. Get a lead and make them chase. Maybe, you know, if it's 10-0 7 minutes ago in the first quarter, that might not be quite enough. If it's, you know, a 10-point lead, 31-21, and we're talking about and thank you for the call, Terry, and we're talking about in the third quarter, okay, then I think you're starting to get there. But – you know, Tyreek Hill said it today, you know, or maybe it was Anthony Hitchens at one point, or Tyrann Mathieu, I can't remember who it was, but one of them brought up that, like, listen, at the start of the fourth quarter, we were up 9. You know, and then all of a sudden we lose.
I think that was Mathieu.
So, the bottom line is this. What do the Chiefs do well? They score points. To me, go down firing with what you do well. That is your offense firing. And no matter what, that, at the end of the day, that's what's going to win this game. Period.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, what was the first Super Bowl to be called the Super Bowl? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.